Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Roland, would you share a Bible verse about today's topic?
Sure. And here it is. It's a saying of Jesus. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, since either they will hate the one and love the other, or they will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon." Today, I'm going to talk about how things can possess us. So, what Christ said sounds like a harsh teaching, but there's actually great wisdom in it. You ought to be able to go through life and have things. You have friends, you have a house, you have a phone, you have a car. To have possessions, but have them not possess you. You ought to know people and cooperate with people and be friendly with people, but not be enslaved to them. And we're going to be talking about how to go through life and not become enslaved by everything. One of the mechanisms of enslavement is resentment. Resentment is the emotional mechanism of enslavement. And we're going to be talking about that today. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Wow. Thanks, Roland.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is finding grace. And now here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We're going to be talking about how to have without being had, how to get without being gotten, how to possess without being possessed. And I might add, how to be involved with someone without feeling trapped. You're going to need a right attitude, awareness, and a desire to do what is right in your heart, to know what is right in your heart and to do what is right in your heart. That means never making anything more important than what you know is right in your heart. Then you will be able to look at things objectively. You'll be able to make better decisions. Looking at things objectively, in other words, standing back, taking a mental step back and looking at them calmly and neutrally and unemotionally, changes your relationship with them and changes the outcome. Do you have a job or relationship now where you feel trapped? Let's take your job, for example. Look carefully, and you will undoubtedly see that you are resenting it. You expect something from it that you're not getting. Your ego is resentful, and that makes you feel trapped. But if you could let go of the resentment, then you could look at it objectively. Maybe you can stay in the job with a new attitude, or maybe you can keep doing your duty while saving money to perhaps one day make a change. Don't know right now which would be best, but one thing you can do right now is let go of the resentment, because your resentment clouds your thinking and makes you feel guilty and trapped. So first, let go of the resentment, then you'll be able to see your way. Many people have gone out into the world looking for love, for approval, for appreciation, for wealth, to prove something, for honor. And when they didn't get what they wanted, they became resentful toward everything and everyone for denying them what they wanted. When you didn't get what you wanted, you resented everyone and everything for denying you what you wanted. And when you did get what you wanted, you weren't happy with it either. So again, you resented everything. So now just call a timeout and take a look at your attitude, mostly your resentment. You just might discover that your job and your partner are not so bad, that life is good, and that hope is there if you could just let go of the resentment and blame. That's what we're going to be talking about. Let's say that there's something you could steal. There's a dollar on the table that belongs to somebody. And you know in your heart, you know that you shouldn't steal it. You know that. Maybe the temptation comes into your mind. See, the devil is always there with some sort of a temptation, a doubt, an alternative. See what I mean? He's always there. And you just have to learn to pay it no mind, dismiss it. It's not credible. But if you are if you have the wrong attitude, if you're selfish, and there's that dollar, then the tempter is there. The tempter says, hey, you could steal that dollar. They don't need it. Nobody will know. Well, if you entertain those, and then when you take the dollar, now you have done the alternative, you possess the alternative, but you lose out. It's either or. Now you have lost the other. And what was the other? The other was riches untold. Christ said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He said, why do you lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust can ruin them? Instead, lay up treasures in heaven. But when you go for the treasure on earth, there's that dollar. I'm just making an example. I want to keep it real simple. Then you can apply this example to all different areas of your life. When you see the principle.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Shedding Shackles has been helping people cope with stress with principles of Christian stress management for over 34 years.
Did you know that Roland has written over 20 books? His latest book, Sleepwalking Christians, is available now at Amazon.com. Roland's book, Sleepwalking Christians, is also available as an audiobook. Just visit Amazon.com and type Roland Trujillo in the search bar.
All right, so what else did Christ say? He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, so that dollar is too important to you, and you take it. See, it's a decisive, it's either or. Christ said, no man can serve two masters. Remember, he said that. You can't ride two horses at the same time. It's one or the other. In that respect, life is decisive. So when you choose that one, you take that one, you possess that one for the wrong reason. Now the other is precluded. The other is set aside. It's gone, and now you only have this. So you had peace of mind. You had God's approval, you had character, you had wisdom, you had all the good that could come from that. You put it aside and you take this one. Now the other one is precluded, gone for you. And there's that dollar, but now it possesses you. And the excuse that you made, they also possess you. You find yourself then defending the wrong. See? Defending your excuse, your rationale, your justification. They also possess you. So, do you understand now the parable of where the rich man came to Jesus and said, you know, I'm doing all this good stuff. And Christ said, oh, that's great. He said, there's one more thing you need to do. Give up all your stuff. See, Christ saw what was in this man. He knew what his thinking was, what his heart was. And so Christ struck right to the core. That man made his possessions too important. They were the thing that possessed him. Those were the attachment. Those were the things that he was focused on, where his treasure, where his heart was, and the other was precluded. So in order to have the other, the kingdom of God, a right character, peace of mind, joy, wisdom, all the blessings, God's great, whatever, all those, in order to have those, he had to let go of that. But he couldn't. See, it possessed him. So it could be anything. what got me started, those of you who listen to me have listened to me in the past, do you know I am now in my 30s? Actually, I say on the radio, I'll often say, or the announcer says, you know, now, you know, 35 years on the radio and so on. But this is actually, I'm now beginning my 37th year. Can you believe it? Okay, so over 37 years. But one thing I've often said in connection with intuition and with discovery, even scientific discoveries, that it's the noticing a little thing. Einstein noticed a little thing. Dr. Alexander Fleming went on vacation. When he came back from vacation, he noticed some green mold growing in one of the petri dishes. He noticed that little thing, and he looked at that mold, and then he put it under a microscope, and he saw that the bacteria around the mold had all been killed. Just noticing that little thing led to the discovery of penicillin. So it's little things that we notice. But anyway, you got the idea. Little things. So I was driving, it was yesterday, and there was some kind of a traffic snafu. I don't know what it was. People were wanted to turn, and the light was red, and there was an intersection that you couldn't block the, and, you know, it was, you know, a typical commute hour traffic. And then I moved forward from where I was across the intersection when it cleared on the other side, so I wouldn't block the intersection. And I looked to my right, and there was a man looking at me, and the man was staring at me with hate. Now, I don't know what he was hateful about. I have no idea. He thought I cut him off, or he thought that I didn't move fast enough, or I don't know. But he was looking at me with hate. Have you ever had somebody just look at you with hate, like staring at you from another car with hate? So I noticed that. I noticed a little thing. I noticed a man sitting in the car staring at me with hate. And noticing that led to some realizations on my part. And understanding that I had never had before by noticing that little thing. Then this morning, I forget what I was reading, but it suddenly came to me. When he fixated his attention on me, with the wrong intention, obviously, with resentment or hatred, when he fixated his mind, his eyes, his attention on me, he lost all the good stuff. What is the good? Peace of mind, God's approval, love, dispassion, calmness, reason, love, character, patience, and all the good that comes from that dimension, from spirit, from God. All that good, a clear mind, unfixated attention, able to get the big picture. He lost all of that because he was fixated on me. So he had that. So that was his possession. That was his attachment. It was when he fixated his attention on me with resentment, he lost everything else. Do you get it? So whatever you make too important, whatever you look at with a wrong intent, whatever your heart's desire is other than doing what's right, and what you have made too important enslaves you, doesn't it? Or what you chose for the wrong reason. Like a lot of people, most people probably get married for the wrong reason. What is the old joke? Somebody once said that marriage is like a three-ring circus. First, the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, then the suffering. Not that the other person is bad. No. A car, a house, a camera, an iPhone, or somebody that you're married to, a nice person. Nothing wrong with them, but your attitude. See, the wrong reason, and now you feel enslaved. You feel trapped. And you blame them, which is another wrong thing to do. When you are blaming another person, either you're saying it or you're thinking it, you are blaming them, you are attached to that blame, and everything else goes out the window. So now do you get it? No person can serve two masters. So life in that regard is decisive, one or the other. Becoming free is a process of becoming detached. You yearn to do, see, that's where your heart is. You yearn to do what's right, or you yearn for the truth. And you honestly and truly, never mind, maybe you can't do it now. See, you're totally enslaved to not only to the thing that you reached for that enslaved you and to which you are now attached, and it owns you. See? And not only to that, but to the excuses and the rationale and the blame, you're attached to them also, and they are attached to you. And then after that, all of the symptoms. You drink and you smoke to try to get rid of awareness, to get rid of guilt. See, when you become aware, you're resenting somebody. That's a wrong attachment. You're attached to your resentment, to your judgment. That's another thing. And you're trapped by your judgments. You even become trapped by the process of having to make judgments. So we get all tangled up and tied up and trapped by all of that.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, Christian stress management on the radio for over 35 years. Are you stressing out? Have you tried Roland's free Christian meditation? Check it out today at sheddingshackles.com.
Those attachments claim you and take you from the other, from what is right, and from freedom. See, I forgot to mention that. I mentioned when you're not attached to somebody, when you're not resenting somebody, you're not hating somebody, things aren't too important. Yeah, you have things. You have your computer and your iPhone and your car, and they're nice. You appreciate them, but they're not too important. You don't make them too important. You have your partner, and yeah, you have different views on things, but you don't resent them. See, your husband, he's not perfect. All right, you don't judge him. You see, he has good qualities. See, all that. So becoming free is a process of becoming detached. Some of the mystics in Christian history seem to have found something, haven't they? We sense it. They try to tell us about it. And one of the things they try to tell us about is not being too attached to things or some vanity or some vow you made. Long time ago, you made a vow in anger. I'm never going to have an unhappy home. I'm never going to be poor like my dad, blah, blah, blah. So, but if you make it too important, then you doggedly pursue it. It owns you. It claims you. It possesses you. And the other is precluded. So now can you see if you could let go of your attachment? If you were resenting somebody and all of a sudden, hey, you see they're just a person. You don't hate them. You don't resent them. You let it go. They did you wrong. Okay. No big deal. Forget it. You make it unimportant. Now you're free. Now you are free to pick up the spiritual life. It's all there. It's always all been there for you. In fact, forgiveness is there for you, but you just haven't been ready to receive it because you've been clinging on to something, some pride or some notion. You think you have to make yourself better. You have to save yourself. You have to improve yourself. Let it go.
When Adam failed and Eve failed, the spirit of pride got in them. A Shedding Shackles Minute. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. The spirit was out in the foliage, in the serpent, and it got on the inside. It is passed down from generation to generation, and you were born with a little bit of that. Before Adam and Eve were tempted, life was simple. There was nothing to hate. When you were a little child, you had a will. And when your parents didn't treat you like you were a perfect child, instead they said, clean your room up, and stuff like that, you resented your parents or got angry at them. Being born in sin is called concupiscence. We all need correction from this prideful part of us. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So, trying to talk about something that's very kind of subtle. Also, so I began by talking about possession. So I'll just leave you with one little final thing. The devil possesses you through or approaches you on things that you make too important, things that you're clinging to, that you are attached to. He uses those attachments to come with his with excuses. So you steal that dollar, now you've lost a lot. And now, if you just sat there quietly, maybe your conscience, the other side, the good side, would begin to dawn on you and you would sense that you had done wrong and you feel bad. And what do? You put that dollar back. See? But the devil is there with excuses, rationale, justification. See? He's very clever. He'll say, well, if you give it back, then they know you stole it. And then they'll turn you in for stealing and it'll get on your record. Then you won't get hired. See? Or they'll think less of you. They won't see you as great like they do now. Or he'll say, well, nobody knows. Nobody saw it. Nobody cares. Everybody's doing it. So you could go down the list. He's very clever. But if you buy into those, then that's how he gets to you. See, if you're entertaining those kinds of thoughts, he's already got a foot in the door, hasn't he? And you entertain those thoughts, and when you yield to them, then he gets more into the door. If you're not attached to anything, then what excuse? See, you don't hate anybody, you don't resent anybody, you don't make things too important. You always kind of are paying attention to the rightness of things. You go about your life, you do everything, you work and you study and you go to the gym and work out. You do all the fun stuff. You're with your friends, but always you live properly. You don't want to step over the line and do something wrong that would hurt someone. But if you have any vanity whatsoever, he'll say, you know, you are a pretty nice guy, but you need to study more. You should get a degree in theology, maybe. Or, well, you're doing okay, but you should give more money. You should donate more. So he's always there. And if you pride yourself or have a bit of vanity, some very subtle pride, or he can get you involved in a reasoning process, thinking about something. You see what's right, and so you just do what's right. But if you start reasoning and thinking about it, well, what if this and what if that, and what are the good, the pluses and the minuses and the pros and cons, and he gets you involved in that because you take a subtle pride in your intelligence, your smartness, then that's how he gets to you. So he possesses you through your possessions. Your possessions, whether it's a notion, a resentment, a judgment, something that you've made too important. You got the idea. So just always have an eye toward what is right. Always do what you know is right in your heart. And don't resent other people. And that'll get you off to a really good start. I'll never forget one more thing. See, awareness is what you, one of the things I talked about, the things that you lose, the spiritual treasures, peace of mind and God's approval and love and wisdom. The other thing that you lose is a free awareness, free to discover, to discern, to realize. when you become trapped in something. But your awareness is associated with your attitude. You can change your attitude really fast. I'll never forget where I used to work a long time ago. You remember back a long time ago, people would smoke in the office. Everybody was smoking. There was one man, there was a heavy pipe smoker. He just smoked a pipe constantly all day long. And then one day he came to the office and he wasn't smoking his pipe. And then a few weeks went by and he wasn't smoking. And then I said to him, "You stopped smoking your pipe?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, boy, that must have been hard to give it up." He said, "No." He said, "One night I was sitting there in my living room and I picked up my pipe and I looked at it and the smell of it and all of a sudden I just didn't have any interest in it and I threw it in the fireplace and I've never smoked again." He suddenly saw it with awareness. See, he saw it with awareness, and that awareness went to work, and he was free in that moment. He became unattached. Now he was free to see it for what it is and to let it go. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program. I sure did enjoy making it. A lot of food for thought here. Remember, you can get this radio program on the radio stations. They have podcasts, and also at iHeartRadio, Audacity, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, all over the place. Shedding Shackles. You can get the Shedding Shackles podcast there. So you can get this there. And this is also going to be a YouTube video because I'm making this program live in front of the camera. And so it's also going to be a YouTube video. You can actually watch this program at YouTube. Just go to sheddingshackles.com, click on watch, and you'll see how to click on my YouTube channel. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.